Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Giridhara Dhari, Jaya Giridhara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Chanda Vallabha, Jaya Giridhara Dhari, Jaya Giridhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta, Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashatya Deshakarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shiva Sadi, Gaurabhakti. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayana Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva
Narottamam,
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam,
Tato Jayam Udirayet,
Nashta Prayashu
Abhadrishu,
Nityam
Bhagavata Sevaya,
Bhagavati
Uttama Shloke,
Patir Bhavati Naishtiki.
The regular attendance in classes on the Srimad Bhagavatam and the rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotional service unto the Supreme Person, whose praise with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. So we are in Canto 1, Chapter 11, Shloka 11. 1-1-1-1-1. Title of the chapter is Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka. Madhuboja Dasharharha.
Madhuboja Dasharharha.
Kukurandaka Vrishnidhi.
Kukurandaka Vrishnidhi.
Atmatulya Balair Guptam.
Atmatulya Balair Guptam.
Nagair Bhagavati Niva.
Nagair Bhagavati Niva.
Madhuboja Dasharharha.
Kukurandaka
Vrishnidhi.
Kukurandaka Vrishnidhi.
Atmatulya Balair Guptam.
Atmatulya Balair Guptam.
Nagair Bhagavati Niva. Feel free to say along if you would like. Madhu, Madhu, Bhoja, Bhoja, Tasharha, Dasharha, Arha, Arha, Kukura, Kukura, Andaka, Andaka. That's pretty easy. Rishnivihi, by the descendants of Rishni, Atmatulya, as good as himself, Balai, by strength, Guptam, protected, Nagai, by the Nagas, Bhogavatim, the capital of Nagaloka, Eva, like. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. As Bhogavati, the capital of Nagaloka, is protected by the Nagas, so was Dwaraka protected by the descendants of Rishni, Bhoja, Madhu, Dasharha, Arha, Kukura, Andaka, etc., who were as strong as Lord Krishna. Please repeat. As Bhogavati, the capital of Nagaloka, is protected by the Nagas, so was Dwaraka protected by the descendants of Rishni. Bhoja, Madhu, Dasharha, Arha, Kukura, Andaka, etc. Who were as strong as Lord Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Nagaloka planet is situated below the earth planet, and it is understood that the sun rays are hampered there. The darkness of the planet is, however, removed by the flashes of the jewels set on the heads of the Nagas, celestial serpents. And it is said that there are beautiful gardens, rivulets, etc., for the enjoyment of the Nagas. It is understood here also that the place is well protected by the inhabitants. So also the city of Dwaraka was well protected by the descendants of Rishni, who were as powerful as the Lord, insofar as he manifested his strength upon this earth. Thank you for allowing me to speak on the Bhagavatam, requesting the mercy of the senior Vaishnavas. And all the Vaishnavas, please give me your blessings that I can say something helpful for today. So here in the purport, well, in the translation, Prabhupada likens, he makes a simile as the subterranean planets, as Nagaloka is protected by the Nagas. In that same way, Dwaraka is protected by the descendants of Rishni. So he's making a simile here. And not that the shloka is so much about Nagaloka or Bhogavati, but we can just mention it briefly here because we don't often talk about it. In the fifth canto, it's referring to the subterranean planets. And there the light of the sun does not reach down there. It's below the Bhumandala, which is the system on which the earth is situated. So below the Bhumandala are seven subterranean heavenly planetary systems, and the light of the sun does not reach there. However, there are celestial serpents or Nagas who have jewels on their heads, and with these jewels, they illuminate the whole the subterranean heavens. So I'll just read some references to that from the fifth canto. Below our planetary system are seven lower planetary systems, the lowest of which is called Pataloka. Beneath Pataloka are other planets known as Narakaloka, or the hellish planets, and there's 28 hellish planets. At the bottom of the universe lies the Garbhodaka ocean, right? So it's in our universe there's 14 planetary systems, so there's the higher planetary systems, which include Brahmaloka, Brahmaloka is Satyaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka. And then there's the middle planetary system, which is the earth is situated on, the Bhumandala. And all those planetary systems, the sun reaches, but below those systems, below the Bhumandala, the sun does not reach. And here's a little description of what goes on there. You know, hopefully None of us will ever go there, so we can just hear about it a little bit and know that that's going on below the Earth planet. Probably, yeah. Demons and rakshasas live in these lower planetary systems, always engaged in sense gratification and not fearing their next birth. The sunshine does not reach these planets, but they are illuminated by the jewels fixed upon the hoods of the nagas, or celestial snakes. So you can imagine they're living in darkness, which is lit by artificial light, right? And they're enjoying, and they're thinking this is happiness. So it's really, they're quite deeply in illusion. And because of these shining gems, there is practically no darkness. In these seven planetary systems, which are known as subterranean heavens, Bilaswarga, there are very beautiful houses, gardens, and places of sense enjoyment, which are even more opulent than those in the higher planets, even more opulent. The sense enjoyment of the demigods is sometimes disturbed in the higher planets, but the residents of these planets enjoy life without disturbances. Thus, they are understood to be very attached to illusory happiness. Is there a devotional service there? Do you know?
Every planet has temple.
They do. However, they are very attached to illusory happiness, so I imagine it's difficult to take up devotional service. So here's an interesting tidbit. Since there's no sunshine in those planets, there's no day and night, so therefore they have no fear of the time factor. It says, well, this is, I'm just reading from the fifth canto. Well, they have no fear related to time, is what it says, because there's no day and night. But they do, if you want to say, what kind of fear do they have?
No, I mean, Sudarshan Chakra comes and finishes. But that's the time, to me. But there is no time.
There's no time. So there's no day and night. But do they know that they're going to get destroyed?
No.
They don't know, yeah.
So that's why it's like more worse than higher.
Yeah, it seems like they're really living in the darkness of ignorance.
They have a soul mate, they fall in love, and then all of a sudden, the Sudarshan Chakra comes, one is still, one is not. It's really horrible.
So they don't know when it's coming.
Right.
So, how can we relate to this? Since hopefully, maybe we've been there, but we'll never go there again, hopefully. What is the darkness that we can relate to, the darkness of the material world? Because right? We pray daily, Om Ajnana Timurandhasya, I was born in the darkness of ignorance. And so, that's the darkness that we can relate to. Before I say a little bit about that, did anybody want to comment on that? I was born in the darkness of ignorance.
I do not know who am I in reality.
Yes.
That I'm a conscious being and the subject of Krishna, that was not known until I came to the shop.
Right. Thank you.
And I did not know that the relationship actually eternally exists.
Yes, thank you. This is our darkness of ignorance. We're thinking that we are somebody of this temporary situation and this is who I am. So then the spiritual master comes along and he removes our darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of knowledge. Ajnana means ignorance. Timirand, darkness, and asya, blindness. Om ajnana timirandhasya. Ajnana, ignorance. Timirand, darkness, and asya, blindness. So we're born in that. Jnana anjana shalakaya. Jnana anjana. Anjana is ointment. Right? So the guru comes along and with the ointment of jnana, he applies it. He, He applies it to our eyes and he opens our eyes. As soon as we forget the living entities, this is from the first canto. It's from this chapter a few shlokas ago. The living entities are predominated Brahma, whereas the Supreme Lord is the predominating absolute. As soon as we forget this clear fact, we are at once in illusion. Thus we are put into threefold miseries, as one is put into a dense darkness. We're put into the threefold miseries as one is put into a dense darkness. The clear consciousness of the cognizant living being is God consciousness, in which one bows down onto him in all circumstances. Right, so that is the clear consciousness, and the dense darkness is the forgetfulness of that fact. And also in this chapter, just a few verses ago in 111.9, Krishna was likened to the sun, and Maya was likened to the darkness. And there's some references from Srila Prabhupada. This is from Hyderabad on November 1972. So referring to this agyana, om agyana timirandasya, Prabhupada says, everyone is thinking, I am this body. This bodily concept of life is maya, illusion, or ignorance. So the whole process is to drive away the ignorance. Drive away. That is called jnana. We are in the agyana. Every one of us is covered in the darkness of agyana. What is this agyana? I am this body. I am Indian. I am American. I am Bengali. I am this. I am that. In another lecture, Prabhupada makes a very nice point how this ignorance comes because the living entity is evolving from the animal kingdom. It's an interesting point. Never heard it put like that. Everyone is born foolish, everyone, even the human beings, because they are coming from the animal kingdom by evolution, so the birth is the same, ignorance like animals. Therefore, even though one is a human being, he requires education. So that's what it means to be born in the darkness of ignorance. I was thinking, like, even though, like, when we're born, we may have some pious credits or some devotional credits from prior lives, but still it has to be awakened by the guru and by knowledge. So it's dormant. This is just my own reflection. I was thinking how every morning when we wake up from that sleep, especially if you've been in like a deep sleep, we wake up, it's like a mini waking up from ignorance. Like you wake up and you know, you realize you're in the material world, and then it takes your moment to, you know, remember, like, devotional service, so I have to go see Krishna at the temple, I have to chant my rounds. But there's, like, that moment of, like, ignorance in the morning when you wake up, when you first wake up. The Lord is a supreme spiritual master, and the Guru is also a spiritual master. The Lord enlightens from within, as the Chaitya Guru and the spiritual master, and he enlightens from without the instruction. Mm-hmm. Did anybody want to make a comment on any of that before we go on to the next point? The darkness of ignorance.
This is what happened when someone is in Hare Bhakti. One of the nine symptoms is fasting. Aprata kalatu means everything that person does who has bhava is always related to Krishna, never waste a moment. Even sitting or meditating, whatever, or even action. Every full time engage. If somebody is full time engaged, it means already bhava is arising in the heart. So this is one of the nine key points that we can check, examine our own heart whether we are progressing towards our goal or not.
Thank you. Well, I know, like, each morning when I wake at the Brahma Muhurta, there's like that, you know, there's like that moment of ignorance, but then there's also that, like, relief. Oh, I can go to the temple. I can, you know, get out of this ignorance. I can chance. It's like, oh, there's a way out of this. So then another point that was made in the verse today is that the descendants of Rishni are protecting Dwarka. So just very briefly about that, we know that Krishna took his incarnation in the family, in the Rishni dynasty. This is from the first canto. In the 19th and 20th incarnations, the Lord advented himself as Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna in the family of Rishni, the Yadu dynasty, and by so doing, he removed the burden of the world. So in the Rishni dynasty, Krishna is the chief. Because Krishna appeared in the Rishni dynasty, therefore the dynasty became famous. And can somebody say what was that burden of the world that Krishna came to remove? Well, Mother Bhumi, she went to pray to Lord Vishnu because the demoniac kings were overtaking the planet. And so, you know, Vishnu told Brahma that Lord Krishna would come personally and relieve the burden of the demoniac kings. The Lord ordered all the denizens of the heavenly planets also to take birth in different families of the Yadu and Rishni dynasties and in Vrindavan. Assisted by the descendants of Bhoja, Rishni, Andaka, Madhu, Surashen, Dasharha, Kuru, Srinjaya, and Pandu, Lord Krishna performed various activities. And so all those dynasties that were mentioned in the verse, Krishna ordered them to demigods to also take birth in these dynasties and so that they can witness his pastimes, and in their company he performed various pastimes. So Nagaloka is protected by the Nagas, and Dwarka is protected by the Rishnis. So I was thinking, like, what are we protected by? How can we relate the shloka to ourselves? So what are we protected by? The spiritual energy, right? That is our protection if we take shelter of the spiritual energy or divine nature. The Bhagavad Gita has given some very clear instructions on this. In 9th chapter, 9:13, Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashritaha bhajanti ananyamana so gyatva bhuta dimavyayam. My diving prakritim ashritaha, diving, divine, prakritim, nature, ashritaha, having taken shelter of. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So those who are not deluded, the great souls, they are under the protection of the divine nature. They, and what are their symptoms? They are fully engaged in devotional service. And in the Purport, Prabhupada says, and how is this affected? One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification, so we have to surrender. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the preliminary formula. Can somebody say why is it stated here? It's the preliminary formula, surrender. Can somebody say? Prabhupada calls, so the way that we take shelter of the divine nature is by surrender, right? Daivim prakritim ashritaha. And then Prabhupada says that surrender is the preliminary formula. So can somebody say why it's preliminary?
We should not be able to say that surrender is entrance to devotional service which is ruled by internal bodies.
Thank you, yes.
So if I don't enter in the house, how am I going to be in the house?
Right.
If I want to be in spiritual energy, I have to surrender. There is no alternative.
Thank you. That's very That was the answer, that the surrender is a preliminary formula because that is the entrance into the doorway of bhakti. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So when one is promoted in that way by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of a great soul or a Mahatma. In a purport in the seventh canto, Prabhupada says, he gives a definition. One definition of surrender is Krishna instructs Sarvadhamam Prityaja and to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. What does it mean? It means to act according to the rules and regulations of Bhagavad Dharma or devotional service. So surrender, one definition of surrender is to engage in the processes of Bhagavad Dharma or devotional service. So in that way, it's sort of simple, you know, because we can sort of give different definitions of surrender. And, you know, there's different subtleties of it, of course, but if I just think, okay, let me engage in devotional service, then, you know, that is surrender. And then once a Mahatma is surrendered, what does he do? What are his activities? What are his symptoms? Next shloka, 9:14, satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavrataha namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upashate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. And why does he do this? A few verses later, in 9:18 in the Gita. Because Krishna is the Gati, goal, Bharta, the sustainer, Prabhu, the Lord, Sakshi, the witness, Nivasaha, the abode, Sharanam, the refuge, Suhrit, the most intimate friend, Prabhavaha, creation, Pralaya, dissolution, Shtanam, ground, Nidhanam, resting place, Bijam, seed, Avyayam, imperishable. So I think that's a pretty complete list. What else? Is there anything else besides that? No. So this is whom we should surrender to, and this is whom we should render service to. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place, and the eternal seed. So, yeah, why not? We should surrender to that.
I was always fascinated, but I never hear this from the different speaker. They hear, but this one verse is like complete of everything.
Yes.
So thank you for finding it. I never thought
of it. It's interesting that you never heard of it from another speaker.
No, I mean, I don't hear from the speaker.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. They say Sarana Sloka, Mahatma.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
But this sloka began with the goal of life. Gati, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshinva, Sarana, Sarisa, Prabhu, Prabhu, Sanam, Nidhanam, Gijam, Abhaya.
It almost seems like it's the essential shloka.
Yeah.
Interesting. Then a few verses later in that same chapter, we're giving a little more specific information of how to do that, how to affect that surrender and that taking of shelter. 9:22. Ananyas chintayanto mam yajana paryupashyate. Tesham nitya biyuktanam yogakshemam vaham yaham. Ananya, having no other object, chintayantaha, concentrating, paripashate, properly worship. Nitya, always, abiyuktanam, fixed in devotion, kshemam, protection, vahamya, I personally carry. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. So always and fixed in devotion, exclusive devotion. And to those who are concentrating on Krishna in that way, to him I carry what they lack and I preserve what he has. OK. Okay, I have like a couple more things. It's also the appearance day of Jagadisha Pandit, so I was going to just read a little bit about him. But before we go on, did anybody want to say anything about that? What we just read about surrendering and always worshiping the Lord and focusing on him with exclusive devotion. This is how we take shelter of the spiritual energy. Did anybody want to comment on that?
Yes.
Lenny?
Just comment on the last verse on the Nyastin Tamil Mom. I personally find very encouraging, you know, that
yes.
It's like Krishna will carry what we lack, which
yes.
is, there's so much. But as long as we're really, you know, meditating and trying, and you see it happen in your life all the time.
Yes.
Krishna does that, so you know, certain verses just really speak to you.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite one, 922. I personally carry, right? Because without Krishna, we are helpless. You know, how can we overcome so many obstacles in the material world? We cannot. Let Krishna carry me. Yes, Madam Atipuru?
Actually, I was just asking if you could expand on that, what it means, carry what we lack and preserve what we have. Sukada mentioned something. It would be nice to hear.
The first line,
not the second.
Yeah, that's the key point.
But I would like to understand more the second part. The key point may be the first two lines, but the second part I would like to more understand.
So to those who focus on me with exclusive devotion, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Shall we try to read the purport? Which one?
One who underlined that sloka. His name is Arjuna Mishra.
I vaguely know it. Would you like to relate it?
No, you can
say. I don't know enough about it.
Because I'm speaking in front of your speaker.
Let's see if Prabhupada says anything more in the purport in the Gita about that. I mean, just, you know, my personal realization, just like what I just said to Mother Sukada, this is like one of my favorite shlokas, because we need that. We need Krishna to carry us, you know. Without him, we are just lost in the material energy, you know, and we need Krishna to come along and like pick us up out of like the ocean of miseries. You know, the image of Gajendra taking shelter of Lord Vishnu comes to mind. Let's see if Prabhupada says anything more in the purport. I don't know if you've ever experienced where you're presented, you know, with some insurmountable obstacle, and you're like, how am I going to get through that? I'm sure all of us have face that, right? And then we pray to Krishna, and somehow we come through that. And somehow it's like, oh, I've sort of come over that, and I sort of feel good about it, and I feel like I've, you know, crossed over it. But it isn't you who did it, you know? It's because you prayed to Krishna. Krishna did it, somehow. So that is how I see it. That is from my realization. And we need that kind of carrying, like, all the time, you know? We need to pray and chant every single day to get that carrying and that protection. Otherwise, we are just lost. What I can do is, because I was going to read, and I could just go to that, because it sort of relates to what you're saying, what you're asking, Madhumati Prabhu, about our material energy, you know, and how if we don't take shelter of Krishna, and if we're just swimming around in material energy, it's very inauspicious and horrible it is. So I was actually going to read a little bit about that from the Krishna Samhita by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And this edition was edited by our very own Pundarik Prabhu, if he's listening. I'm reading from the book. The condition of the living entity is very pathetic, for although he is pure spirit, he has become the servant of matter. He considers himself a product of matter and becomes afflicted by material scarcity. Sometimes he cries due to scarcity of food. Sometimes he laments due to being attacked by fever. And sometimes he engages in abominable activities. Sometimes he exclaims, "I'm dying," and sometimes he says, "I've been saved by this medicine." Sometimes he is absorbed in the formidable ocean of lamentation due to the death of his child. Sometimes he builds a big palace, lives in it, and thinks, "Now I've become a king." Being envious of a few people, he thinks, "I'm a great hero." Sometimes he is struck by wonder while sending a message by telegram or email. I wonder if it's in there for our modern audience. Sometimes he writes a book on medicine and expands his title. Sometimes he builds a train and considers himself a big scholar. And sometimes he ascertains the movements of the stars and advertises himself as an astrologer. Such people pollute their hearts with envy, violence, lust, and anger. Sometimes they teach physics, medicine, and farming and think, "I've earned so much piety." Alas, are such activities proper for a pure spirit soul? Such insignificant propensities are meaningless for one who has lived in Vaikuntha and relished pure love of God. If we carefully consider what we actually are and what we have become, then we can understand that we have fallen and become afflicted with the threefold miseries. Our offense is a discrepancy in the constitutional occupation of the spirit soul. It has already been shown that the living entity is full of spiritual bliss. The soul is pure knowledge, and blissfulness is his constitution. The thread of relationship between a living entity and the absolute truth, who is eternally full of knowledge and bliss, is called priti, or love. The thread of love eternally connects the happiness of the living entities with the happiness of the Lord. The quality of their love is mutually attractive. It is most pleasing, subtle, and pure. When a living entity falls into the net of illusion, however, he shuns the loving service of the Lord and searches for enjoyment in the material world. Just a little longer. Knowing him to be an offender, Maya, the maidservant of Krishna, then imprisons him. We are suffering in the material world due to this offense. Our constitutional duties in the form of love of God have become reflected as attachment for material objects, which increases our inauspiciousness. At this juncture, cultivation of our constitutional duties is our only prayojana, our goal in life. As long as we are conditioned, we cannot purely practice our constitutional duties. Our constitutional propensities are neither lost nor can they be lost. They are simply in a dormant state. As soon as one starts cultivation of those duties, they will awaken from their dormant state and again shine brightly. One starts cultivation of those duties. So cultivation is a key word here. Devotional service is a cultivation. They will awaken from their dormant state and again shine brightly. Then liberation will automatically ensue. But since liberation is not our goal of life, it is not a prayojana, priti, or love is our goal of life, and therefore our only prayojana. I hope that answers your question somewhat. And anybody want to add something? Yes, I'll stick it in.
So wonderful and liberating the way that Prabhupada can reduce all the accomplishments, the greatest accomplishments in the material world, down to nothing compared to just a little love of God. You know what I mean?
Isn't it like, amazing?
Wow. That's the purpose of life, and all these other things that are being done are useless.
Yes, and how puffed up are those performers of those useless things, right?
Yeah.
I'm a great astrologer. I'm a great physicist. I'm a great doctor.
Yeah.
Well, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls it pathetic. This is the pathetic state of the living being, because he thinks himself very great, and he's actually quite pathetic.
And I was thinking of that verse on the Ashton Center, Mom, how the Christians, they often have this poem, you know, called Footsteps. You probably know of it, you know, but it's so nice that, you know, dear Jesus, like, I could see the footsteps, we're walking together all the way. But then there's only one set of lucky lights, and then that's where I was carrying you.
You were carrying me through
that's so kind, you know.
Through the shadow of the valley of death, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's a nice reference there. Anyone else? We can read about Jagadish Pandit, unless somebody wants to share. Please share if you would like. This is one when Prabhu was saying how, you know, we like milk the nectar of the verse by sharing, by speaking about it. We like milk that verse. So, anybody else? Okay. So today is the appearance day of Jagadish Pandit. Maybe it rings a bell because only 2 weeks ago was his disappearance day, but we didn't really say anything. We didn't say much about him, I think. Prangavinda Prabhu said a little bit. So I'll just also say a little bit about him. So today's his appearance day. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 10 and Adi 11. And Jagadisha Pandit was the 31st branch of the Chaitanya tree, and he was also the 15th branch of Lord Nityananda's followers. He belonged to the village of Yashodagram in the district of Nadia. Both his father and mother were great devotees of Lord Vishnu, and after their death, Jagadish, with his wife Dukini and brother Mahesh, left his birthplace and came to Sri Mayapur to live in the company of Jagannath Mishra and other Vaishnavas. So Jagannath Mishra was Lord Chaitanya's father. Lord Chaitanya asked Jagadish to go to Jagannath Puri to preach Harinam Sankirtan there. After returning from Jagannath Puri on the order of Lord Jagannath, he established deities of Jagannath in the village of Yashodagram. So, there's a temple still there that he established, and because he carried Lord Jagannath on a stick from Puri to Yashodagram, he carried him on a stick, and the pujari, they still have that stick, and they show that stick. Have you ever seen it?
Are you also
the
deity, but not the
stick? No,
they said they have the stick.
They said they have it?
They have the stick. It's not a stick, it's a box. You know, Mother Mugu, what do you call it? You know, they gave it on both sides.
Yeah, you want like a balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sika.
Yeah. So he was carrying that by himself.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They still have that in India? Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently they still have that stick at that temple in Yashodagram, which Jagadish Pandit established. And I guess it's under the Gaudiya Math, this temple. Okay, anything else? Anybody would like to say? Okay, Grantaraj. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Please do. Please share.
Sorry.
Here's your opportunity to milk the shloka.
Hari Bol, Dandavats, very nice class. I want to ask if you want to comment on Nagapatnis being devotees. Actually, the entire class I was thinking of that.
I don't think it's not saying Nagapatnis. It's saying...
No. Going back to Krishna book.
Oh, Krishna Loka. Okay.
Krishna book.
Yeah.
So how can Nagapatnis be devotees if this planetary system is so much devoid of bhakti? Because Kaliya comes from the Dila Sarga.
Oh, okay.
If you wanted to share any thoughts.
Where are they?
Yes, please say.
Because Sanatana Goswami Path says, who joined in Ras Lila, says 16,000 groups, and one of them was Nagapatnis also. Oh. So I was trying to research long time back. So then I found on 5th Canto, Prabhupada says that at the time of annihilation, Brahmaji's 100 years, most of the jiva don't want to go back. So then the Sankarsan, Ananta says, he gets angry. And he gets angry, but then the wife or woman of the Naga, I don't know how the...
Of the Nagas?
The snake woman.
Of the Nagas.
the snake women.
The ladies.
The female snake.
Okay, ladies. They get some or other very attractive, charming look of the Anantashesh, and they kind of like a bashful. So then the Lord actually fulfill their desire to accept them as their wife, and they go to a process of purification and they enter. So they are very fortunate. They are very fortunate. No information about the male snakes, what happened. But the female snake, because they like the Anantashesh, he's a, I guess amongst the snake there is a, you know, attraction of a macho. I don't know what you call those.
It's got so many hoods and everything.
Yeah, Prabhupada wrote that they get attraction to the Anantashesh, so then Anantashesh arranged that they come to Vrajalila because they
and this is from, they're residing in the subterranean heavens. And they somehow see Anantashesh, who's he's carrying the universe, right?
Right, but the end of the romantic life, he comes out and gets angry because most of the living entities don't want to go back. They're attached to the living. So that's what makes him angry. So the purpose of the creation
so he comes is. He comes to the subterranean heavens?
I guess everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. He's holding the universe.
Correct.
Thank you. Well, thank you for that answer. He just has, he has a duty of holding up the universe.
It's like a pull. Once he's over, he goes back to the spiritual world. But he's also in the spiritual world.
This material world, you know, this is one verse. I think I repeated that before. But I would like to say, this removed my doubts a lot. It's in Adi Lila chapter 5, text 18 or 21. One of the two. I think 18. The verse goes like this. Sarvaga Ananta Vibhu Krishna Tanu Sama Ananta Sarvaga Ananta Vibhu Krishna Tanu Sama Upari Ada Bepi Ache Ananta Ashima. The Golok Vrindavan is actually everything. Underneath Golok Vrindavan, because we have a everyday Chaitanya Charitamrita class, and I'm one of the member of Bir Krishna Goswami. He does Chaitanya Charitamrita every day, 5 to 6, we do that. So we are discussing that within the Golok Vrindavan, part of the under is Vaikuntha, part is Ayodhya and all this. And then little closet, you know, like a dark place within Golok is material world. If you think like this, like a house, the closet is like a material world, deep dark. So we are under Krishna's Golok. But until that darkness is removed, we cannot come out and experience.
Yes.
So in that sense, like this.
Om Agyana Chinirandasa.
Yes.
And the darkness of ignorance.
Thank you. Thank it was you. Nice class.
Thank you.
Any other?
Antarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Or just any on the chat. Oh, there is some.
Okay.
Mother Vishnu, I believe. Yes, this one aspect of Naga planet makes one want to know more about this amazingly diverse planetary system that Lord created. Things beyond our imagination. It's a comment. Mother
yes.
Bhagavati, the Nagapatnis in Vrindavan were wives of Kaliya. They were devotees, prayed that Krishna be merciful to their husband.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mahavishnu Priya and Mother Bhagavati, please. Thank you.